Good morning, Missio family. How's everybody doing? Thumbs up ish. Yeah. I see some hats on and jackets on, and I'm cold too. But hey, serious question. How many of you doubted Punxsutawney Phil this year? Punxsutawney Phil is the little groundhog that popped up out. And if I'm honest, every single year I'm like, is this legit? Like, do we really have this practice in our country to determine whether or not or predict, you know, 6 more weeks of winter or not? Well, this year on February 2nd, Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow. And that means we get 6 more weeks of winter. And after this weekend, I no longer doubt him. And I will no longer doubt that process. It is here, and I believe it. And I'm grateful. I enjoyed a snow day with my boys yesterday. But the reason why I bring that up and just think about those 6 weeks of winter is that this year, those additional 6 weeks, they coincide almost exactly with or directly with the Lenten season. I think Punxsutawney got about 2 weeks jumpstart on us, but the next 40 days or so, a good portion of it's going to be winter. And all 40 of it starting this Wednesday is going to be the season of Lent. And today we want to have what we're calling a community connection Sunday. We want to have an intentional and interactive conversation around Lent, what it is, why it's part of our Christian tradition and history. And I want to start this. I'm going to kind of talk to you for maybe about 10 minutes just to kind of get us in a common place. And then we're going to go into our breakout rooms and we're going to have a chance to discuss and talk about that so that this can be, not just informative, but formational for us this week as we think about the season ahead. So Lent, if you're not familiar with it, it comes from an old English word, lengthen, which means spring or springtime. And even as I say lengthen, you might hear the word lengthen. And that's why it speaks of spring, is because it's talking about the lengthening of days that happen during the spring. The days get longer, we get more sunshine. And it's a 40-day season. It's not counting the Sundays. It begins on Ash Wednesday, which is this coming Wednesday, the 15th of February, and it'll end on Holy Saturday. Some traditions, it'll end on Thursday before, but most it's Holy Saturday, so the Saturday after Good Friday. And it's a period that represents the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness during the temptation when Satan tempted him before he started his ministry. The exact origin of the holiday or of the tradition is not fully known or understood. It's really murky, similar to a lot of Christian holidays. And also, you know, it's changed over the years. But one thing is for sure is that the purpose of it is to invite us as followers of Jesus to enter into the life of Jesus, a time and a season of self-examination and even of penitence, of looking at our lives and thinking about what are the ways that God would be calling us in light of his grace, in light of his goodness, in light of his love towards us, to turn and have mind shift regarding different ways we're believing and thinking and living in order to become more like Christ. One of the ways that Lent is often talked about, and I appreciate this quote from Alicia Britt Cole, that's from her book, 40 Days of Decrease, that I've been reading. She says this, she says, Lent is often and understandably described with project language. The season has a starting date and an ending date, a clear and quantifiable goals to accomplish in between. After Easter, consequently, we evaluate Lent with project language. We did okay, or only made it 2 weeks, or kept our commitment, or I totally failed. And this year, I want to invite you, though, to view Lent as less of a project and more of a sojourn. A sojourn is a temporary stay at a place. And a stay is about presence, not productivity. Again, I really appreciate that. And that's been helping to form and shape my thoughts this year and why we're having this conversation and even what I'll instruct you or invite you into shortly. Over the years, I've shared this recently, over the years, the Christian calendar has become more and more important to me and just more and more meaningful, even this last year in light of and in the midst of just the year we've lived. Realizing that this world as it is not my ultimate home. And there's a greater kingdom and another home to which I'm being called and drawn towards. And I've found that the Christian calendar and the seasons within it have helped my soul to engage more and be reminded more in that reality. And so this next 40 days or this Lent season, what I want to do is invite us as a community to move or to fast from measuring our productivity and our success of Lent and invest our energy in thinking more relationally about this Lenten season. fast from, again, the production or the type of project language we use, and think of it more and invest our energy more thinking about relationally. And here's why. I reminded us at the beginning that Lent represents the 40 days that Jesus spent in the Judean wilderness, enduring the temptation of Satan and preparing to be in his ministry. But what I'd actually propose to you, and this is an idea that Cole has given to me, is that we often think that Jesus's fast started in the wilderness, but reality is Jesus's fast started in the manger. And here's what I mean by that. The reality is that the fast of Christ, the fast of the Son of God, it started 30 years prior at his birth. When Jesus took on flesh, he literally entered into a fasted lifestyle. He was fasting from or abstaining from equality with God. That's the language that Paul uses in Philippians 2, right? It says that he didn't view equality with God as something to be grasped, but he let go of it. And he entered into human flesh. He entered into our world and he took on human form. And he laid down his power to take on what? The form of a servant. The life and the reality of the Son of God was a fasted life the whole time, not just for these 40 days before his public ministry. See, for 30 years prior to the Judean wilderness, Jesus fasted omnipresence, and he clothed himself with the limited nature of human flesh. He fasted being worshiped in glory by angels, and instead he accepted the disregard and disrespect of humanity. He fasted from sitting in the place of ultimate power, and again, he took on the form of a servant. He fasted from prominence as the center of all creation, and he submitted himself to the obscurity of 30 hidden years that we know little or nothing about. The ultimate God, I mean, ultimately God, the creator of the universe, entered into a fasted lifestyle, all for the sake and the purpose of relationship and being present with you and I. And that's been radically forming the way I've been thinking about what I'm going to do in these next 40 days. And I want to invite you to entertain that thought, that change of thinking with me today. I want to invite you into what I'm proposing as our Lenten focus this year, is that what does it look like for us to live intentionally with Jesus and be attentive to what he's doing in our lives over these next 40 days? How can you intentionally continue to walk with and grow in Jesus for the next 40 days? We're going to enter into our rooms here in a little bit, and you're going to have some questions to think through together. But the point of those is to help you to possibly connect what's God been saying to you throughout the year of 2020. In the midst of all of that, and then we talked about at Advent, divine disruption. What's God been saying over the last year to you? What are the things that he's been getting your attention with that are going on in your own heart, mind, and soul, not just out there in the world? And how can you connect even that to what he spoke to you potentially when you sat for silence and reflection Sunday? And maybe he brought a word to you in that. Or many of you have entered into spiritual formation cohorts in the fall or even now. What are the themes? What are the stories? What's God weaving together in your heart and your mind throughout this last season? Even our 40 days of prayer that we just went through to start off the year. What's stirring in your soul? So I think all of that is a part of how God is wanting to lead and move through our lives in this season. These aren't just, you know, disconnected seasons, but this is your life. This is your story. And this is your story in your life with God as he's entered in for the sake of relationship, to sojourn with you, to be present with you. And so this year, the invitation is to fast from viewing Lent as a project and enter into Lent as a relational experience, a sojourn with your Savior and your friend, Jesus. You know, I've heard a lot of people saying that life right now feels like Groundhog's Day, referring to the movie, right? Where he wakes up and it's the same day over and over and over and over again. I've heard a number of people say life just feels like Groundhog's Day. Well, how can you intentionally choose to live into the grace of Jesus in the next 40 days so that it doesn't just pass you by and feel like the same old thing? Or even Kelly and I were talking as we were just kind of thinking about Lent and preparing some things. You know, often we enter into Lent because we do it like a project. We engage in it, and then Easter comes, and it's like, oh, sweet. And then the very next day, we're like back to doing the same old stuff, and the season really didn't mean anything. And this year, I'm inviting and challenging us, because I feel that's God's invitation to us, is let's not do it like that. But let's not just do it like that, same old, same old. We're living in a time and a season of life that's not just same old in reality. And so how's God getting your intention? What's he inviting you into? How's he speaking into your heart, your mind, and your soul? here's a couple examples, I think, of what it might look like to stop measuring productivity and success statistically in our Lent and investing our energy relationally. Here's what it might look like. And these are some of the things that God's getting my attention with. What if over the next 40 days, I were to fast denial and instead seek acceptance and truth? Or not seek acceptance, but seek and accept the truth. What if for the next 40 days, I fasted comparison and instead I embraced the unique identity that God has given me in Christ? What if I fasted from escapism and instead I practiced relational presence, actually being present with people, even when it's hard and messy and murky? What if I fasted worry and fear and instead I exercised faith and bravery? What if I fasted criticism and instead I became an encourager? What if I fasted withholding stuff from people out of fear or of scarcity or of that sort of nature, but instead gave generously what I had and what God has entrusted to me? What if I fasted spectatorship and instead I actually got in the game, whatever that game is that God is calling me to? What if I fasted from that? And for some of you, maybe it's fasting from just informational following of Jesus and actually getting in the game of relational discipleship with Jesus in this season. What if I fasted from the world's illusions that allure me and draw me in? And what if I sought to really seek life in the kingdom of God that's here and now? These are some of the ways I think God might be calling us, again, calling me, and my invitation to you is to say, yeah, what if we fast from thinking of this season, again, just as a project, and realizing that there's relationship to be had, deep and satisfying, sanctifying relationship over these next 40 days. That God wants to do something to carry us into Easter so that we can really celebrate resurrection and new life because we were honest over these past 40 days. Yeah, get in the game. Come on, Vicky. I love it. I want to just end us with this scripture that I'm grateful Jenica opened us with before we go into our breakout rooms. Yeah, as I've been thinking again about the Lenten season, again, this bigger story that Lent is not just this one 40-day season, but it's part of the grander story narrative of what God's doing in our lives. Hebrews 12, 1-3 says this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and I'd invite you to just look at the screens. I don't know how you have your screen set up. Right now I can see a grid of 4x6. I can see about 24 of you right now. You're my cloud of witnesses today and always. But you're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. You know what Christ's joy was? The joy that was set before him was not just him returning to the Father, not just him returning to that place of prominence in unity with the Father and the Spirit. But I believe it was him knowing that what he was doing was preparing the way for us too to enter in to that relationship of love, that dance of love with the Father and the Spirit. I think his joy was making a way for us to enter in to this deep union, this deep relationship, this satisfying love of God the Father and God the Spirit through the Son. And so for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He scorned its shame and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Therefore, consider Christ, who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Yeah, you know, church, right now, this is a season where it's easy to be weary and to lose heart because of all that we've been living in the midst of. But Lent gives us an opportunity to fix our eyes on Jesus, to remember that he's the pioneer and he's the perfecter of our faith. And he's calling us heavenward. He's calling us home. He's calling us to become more like him through living closer to him in relationship with him, even in this season. And so as I kind of said in those notes, yeah, Lent prepares us to remember and embrace the cross of Christ, so that we can celebrate and experience the resurrection of Jesus in a more deep and full, true manner this year. Lent calls us to throw off everything that hinders and the sins that so easily entangle us internally, externally at times. Lent invites us to take up that which helps us to fix our eyes on Jesus and to run with perseverance the race that he's called us to in this life. Lent reminds us to consider how Jesus endured great struggle, great opposition, how he diminished himself, how he denied himself, went to the cross, and how that encourages us to not grow weary, even if there's things that are dark and hard and make causing us to feel diminished in the season. And this passage, again, it reminds us that we're part of a bigger story, that we're part of the great narrative of God and his redemptive work and the story of his people throughout the generations. And it reminds us that you and I are part of that. You and I are part of that grand story. You and I are part of that grand body, that grand group of people living in this world, understanding and believing, yes, this isn't our final home or destination, but God is calling us closer to himself. So I want to invite you now, Missio, to go into your breakout rooms. And then I want you to dialogue and discuss this with one another. Before you go in, Canis is about to put up a QR code. And I'd ask all of you to please take a picture of that. You should be able just to hold your phone up and your camera should take it. And what it's going to do, it's going to open up a document. It's a 2-page document. But for today, I want you to just to focus on at the bottom of the first page, there's some discussion questions. There's 4 or 5 of them there. And that's what I want you to dialogue and just interact with together this morning around maybe some input I've just given or just around these questions to think about, yeah, what's God doing in my life? And how is he calling me to engage purposefully, intentionally, relationally over these next 40 days of the Lent season? And then there's a page 2, and you don't need to be concerned with that one today. Page 2 is for after today, maybe just to help, again, guide you in your own processing after today to think about how you want to engage this season. But there's a QR code. If you take a picture, please, 4 or 5 discussion questions at the bottom of page 1. That's what I want you to dialogue around. I'm going to just say a quick word of prayer, and then we're magically going to be whisked away into these breakout rooms and have a dialogue, okay? So God, thank you for today. Lord, thank you that your love is unfailing towards us and your mercy is new today. And God, you're faithful. And God, that's not just today. That's always. That's who you are. You're a faithful, loving, gracious, compassionate God who does miraculous and beautiful works in the lives of people. Lord, today we want to respond to your grace. We want to respond to your love. We want to respond to your goodness. And in this season ahead, we want to experience life with you in a new way. God, draw us into relationship today with you and in the season ahead. Lord, I pray it even now just for authenticity, for honesty, for the ability to converse together in a gracious, loving way to encourage one another, to think about God, how you are speaking and at work in our lives and what you're drawing us into over the next 40 days. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your care. Thank you for this community, this cloud of witnesses here to spur one another on towards love, toward good deeds, toward knowing you and living out the realities of your kingdom in this world. Father, would you bless this time? Would you protect it? Would you hold it? And again, Lord, draw us closer to your heart and show us, God, reveal to us what it is that you have for us, what you're inviting us into. We love you, Jesus. And I pray this in your name. Amen.